This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 10th of May, 2016, and my name's Patrick Smith. It is the summertime. It is the off-season well underway. We're about a month in, so we're getting ever closer to the September that we all crave to bring hockey and elite league action back to us. But there's plenty to talk about. There have been quite a few signings or re-signings for the Belfast Giants and a hell of a lot of news from right across the league. Davey and Aaron will be along in just a second. Now, we're also joined by David Rutherford, one of the returnees for the Belfast Giants, of course, arrived mid-season, but we'll start the season 16-17 with the Belfast Giants. It's a show where we'll look back and reflect on how we thought the Giants got on last season and look ahead to what we expect and the sort of team we might get in the season to come. If you want to get in contact with us, at AVFTB on Twitter, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com on email, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is our website. You can get us on soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all our interviews and all the usual sort of places, Instagram and whatnot. Keep an eye on it. It's funny when you have a month off and what you think about and what you ponder on, and we sort of get it all out of our system on this week's A View from the Bridge. Well, we seem to have had our 3 days of summer. The sun was shining. It was nice and bright. It was lovely. Now that's finished. It must be the autumn, which means it must be hockey time. Or at least I'm sure that's how it goes. Mr. Rajimsey, how did you spend your summer?
I had one game of football, one quick game of golf, and then it was all over. I look out the back garden tonight to see the summer in ruins, the children's sand pit full of water, and the paddling pool that was up on Sunday empty but full of rain. So it's a pretty dismal scene.
You know, I spent like 2 days of the weekend putting together a barbecue, putting together a brand new picnic table, getting everything ready. Had one barbecue, thought this is lovely. You know, my parents are coming over to Manchester next weekend, and I'm thinking, you know, if this stays, it's going to be a lovely summer. Like yourself, I'm looking out into the back garden, thinking to myself, what on earth happened? What's it like in the depths of Northern Ireland there, Mr. Kernan?
So actually, it's very nice. I'm just looking out the window at the moment at a very pleasant, lightly red sunset. It's pretty impressive. It was pretty wet this morning, but it's blown over. So maybe you guys will get a bit of an Indian summer tomorrow.
Red sky at night, eh?
Red sky at night. The devils are...
What? I have no idea where you're going with that. Anyway, right. Gents, we haven't spoken in just over a month.
That's not essentially true.
What do you mean?
We haven't spoken since like this afternoon.
Yes,
As a podcast.
As a podcast, that's pretty true. As a podcast, you're right. We haven't put anything out in over a month. We've spoken many's a time in between, but there's been quite a bit happening. What I want to do for this show is we're going to hear from David Rutherford in this show, and various, we could talk about various other bits and pieces, but before we get into look to the future and spend a bit of time talking about the Giants and what we expect, let's have a look back and draw a line over the season that's passed. The 2015-2016 season for the Belfast Giants. With regards to the Elite League, they finished fourth with a record of 31-17-2-2 and a total of 66 points. In the Erhard Conference, they were third, 15-13-2-2 and a total of 34 points. It was a semi-final exit to the Cardiff Devils in the Challenge Cup and a quarter-final exit to the Nottingham Panthers in the playoffs. Mr. McJimsey, when you look back over there, we've had, 16 seasons of the Belfast Giants, and you look back at the season we just had, what was your assessment overall?
It would certainly be one of the more disappointing ends to a season, mm-hmm. as well as... It was so up and down. A season that started with so much promise, the team went on a really good winning streak. And that failure, which was nothing, you can't really label it anything else, a failure through sort of January, February time, when I think we lost 9 of 13 games and really left ourselves too big a mountain to climb. I think when I look back at it, I still believe that that roster that was signed was an incredibly talented roster that didn't deliver probably what it should have. There was players that played for sections of the season. You know, there was a lot of criticism, especially from the coach after games, about not playing 60-minute games. You know, we didn't play a 60-game season, you know, let alone a 60-minute game. There was players that maybe took some nights off. There was players that maybe weren't in the shape that they wanted to be, that, you know, they'll address that over the summer holidays, hopefully, here. And, you know, there was players that were streaky and you expected more out of them and perhaps didn't deliver what maybe it said on the tin for them. So there's soul searching from the fans. Could we have done more? But there'd be a lot of soul searching from the coaching, from the players themselves, because for me it was a team that should have delivered more and didn't.
James Demarai was our top scorer. He had 23 plus 40 for 63 points out of 64 games. The longest scoring streak, Aaron, came from Mike Raja. 6 plus 2 over 4 games. I think it was towards like December, January time. Was it goals that this team missed? Was it defensive? What do you think it was that made us end up in fourth position?
I think Davey touched on it there. It was the lack of consistency. Maybe it wasn't lack. It was the streakiness. I mean, I think we were consistent at times, but at other times we were consistently poor as well. You know, we'd put together a really good run. That Mike Raja streak, I think, probably coincided with a really good we put together over Christmas. We put that together, and then, you know, all of a sudden, we then lost 3-4 games in a row and completely undid the good work that we'd done up to that point. So I think that, to me, that streakiness and lack of overall consistency really was the downfall. And it was, I don't think there was any single time through the whole season where we had maybe more than one line really clicking together, you know, where we had everyone on the team play. Now, obviously, you expect over a season that people will pick up the slack for others when they're maybe having a few off games. But at some point, you hope that everyone will click and you'll go on a bit of a dominant run. And I don't think that really happened, where everyone on one night contributed the way that they would have hoped.
I think that also, you know, Coach Walter's first season, he fiddled a lot, you know, trying to find that consistency of line partners to get chemistry, to get a spark. And there was at times, you know, you had Benny, Forney, Higgy at the start of the season going really well, and Higgy goes down with an injury. And there was just little injuries here and there through the season that juggled lines up. And as, you know, we had Johan Edepam, who started the season brilliantly and faded away, got an injury and never got back into the team. You know, that he's one of the guys at the start of the season where he was labelled, you know, he's going to be one of the MVPs in the league. He was in there to replace kind of Elfie Brickwell, you know, that sort of thing. And I think it was going to be difficult for Walser to come in first season, learning the role. He was trying to play at the same time. One of my major ranks, and I have this with Rob McGregor a lot on Twitter, Stephen Murphy was, you know, you're riding a goaltender for 60 plus games. It's hard. And you've seen around that time where we had the Challenge Cup semi-final or either quarter-final or semi-final away in Cardiff, where Murph was just exhausted. Yeah. And he came back after that Olympic break and he was a completely different player. And he started the season on fire when we were going through that streak. And probably through that, I'm hell to say this, I'm not labeling Stephen Murphy as the reason why we went through that it was it's a team game. I'm not one of these ones that you win as a team, lose as a goalie. But he was one of the issues in around the team at that time. Was Murphy was just, to me, from me watching it, looked exhausted. He made mistakes in that Cardiff Devils game, but that fifth goal in Cardiff. Stephen, that's not a Stephen Murphy mistake. You know, that was just mentally tired, and he's coughed the puck up. And when he came back from that Olympic break, and we've talked about that on podcasts previously too, the likes of him and Forney, when they got that break, they came back and we went on another streaky run and we just came up short. They'll look back. All the teams will be able to look back across the season and went, oh, I should have got a couple of points here, should have got a couple. But we lost to Manchester at home. I think it was the Brayhead Clan game maybe around Christmas that we lost. Like, I can't remember whether it was the Clan, but we lost a home game. It might have been Dundee or the Clan or something like that. And, you know, and our record against Sheffield. There's little tiny things. I still think that team had so much potential. And there's little tiny factors and games that if you just had turned them around, what was a disappointing season all of a sudden becomes a very good season. I'm not trying to gloss over anything. It was a bad season and it stung like hell. You, like, the depth of depression after the, you know, the semi or the quarter final playoff defeat. It stings, and it still stings to this day. And you and me, I haven't really spoke to Aaron as much as I spoke to you about it. I'm still finding it hard to look back on last season without it being really painful. And you know, the team promised so much. The way things are shaping up, the coach has recruited. Obviously, they've announced 9 guys already from last season team. There'll probably be a few more coming back. He's putting his faith in those guys to give them another chance to put things right. We'll discuss later in the show, I suppose, whether we think that's right or wrong. But, you know, the guys have got another opportunity here. And on paper, it's a good roster.
Yeah. On the Stephen Murphy point, mate, when I look at the statistics for the season, Ben Bounds won 40 games. Stephen Murphy won 39. And Ben Bounds is being held up as being, you know, the be-all, end-all for regards to British netminders. 40-20 he was to Stephen Murphy's... Sorry, 40-20-0-1. To Stephen Murphy's 39-22-0-2. I will point out as well, a lot of Giants fans early on in the season were pointing out, you know, a want for Carson Chewback to return. Stephen Murphy won as many games as Carson Chewback lost. So, you know, statistics aren't all be-all, end-all, of course. You know, you've got to think about the team in front of you, and we'll talk about the Edinburgh Capitals later in the show. What I will actually say as well is, are we in danger of pointing the finger a bit too much? I'm going to be a bit of a happy-clappy here. The Giants were 6 points off top. As you say, Davey, that game against the Storm, there's 2 points. A game against Brayhead, our record against the Steelers, you eventually won it. Turn around a couple of those results, and we're not far if we're not at top. Our home form last season was absolutely abysmal for what you want. You have to win your home games. Your home games have to be your strong games, and you pick up as many points on the road as you can. To have the road form that we had to top the league with regards to away games, that should be your title winning team. If you're the best team away from home, your home game should be enough to hold you, and your away game should hold you to win the league. And that's exactly what didn't happen to us last season. We couldn't perform in front of our own fans, and that I think developed a bit of a negative vibe, because obviously, the Belfast Giants fans don't travel as much as other fans for obvious reasons, you know, the cost incurred. And I think for myself and yourself, David, we saw them on the road more often than not. So maybe we lean towards more the fact that we saw some of the potential. Those games at the NIC, scoring 5 goals against the Nottingham Panthers in 1 period to take the win, scoring in overtime, and a lovely move between Demarai, Beach and Walser to take an overtime at the NIC. You saw the skill and the ability this team had. But then they'd go back to the SSE Arena and the home fans who have heard about the away performance or seen them on webcasts aren't seeing it before their own eyes, and a bit of a forlorn frustration from the Giants fans started to build and build through the season, and I think that's maybe rolling over a little bit. But it's, for me personally, I know you say it's a disappointing season. I'd lean more on a frustrating. If I frustrate, as you say, so much potential just not reached. And we'll come on to the returnees in a second. But Derek Walser's rookie, I want to pick you up on a point, actually. You said, you know, about Derek Walser coming in as a rookie coach and learning his way through. Is that the way the Belfast Giants had to have it?
I don't think we'd have had Derek Walser the player without giving Derek Walser the, you know, the opportunity to be a coach. That's what he wanted to do. He had very, very lucrative offers elsewhere. You know, that's not a secret. He had big money offers to go and play elsewhere. He took the opportunity to get into coaching. It's what he wants to do in the future. You know, Derek Walser was one of the premium D-men in the league. Okay, well, I know we jibed at times that he was probably one of the best wingers in the league, but, you know, you were always going to have that steep learning curve. It's very hard to go from being one of the guys to being the bad guy. You know, you have to break news to players when they're scratched. You have to ball players out when they're not playing well. You have to learn which players need to kick up the ass, which players need a hug, you know, which players need an arm around the shoulder. And that's going to be difficult when you're trying to, you know, play as well. And we have seen over the last number of years, like big Doug Christensen came in, Paul Eady came in, when you've got that bench coach and they've nothing else to focus on apart from coaching that team on the night, it's a different dynamic. And it was always going to be difficult for Coach Walser. You know, was it the right move? You know, time will tell, because this is, you know, he has to produce this season. So it's difficult to say. It's a results-based business. You know,
yeah.
Walser needs to produce this season, and he knows that himself, and he wants to go out on a high as well. You know, he's a 2-year deal with the Belfast Giants. I don't know whether he sees himself in Belfast beyond this season, or you know what his succession plan is there, what he wants to do. But you know, if this is to be his last season in Belfast, he'll want to go out on a high. He'll have learnt a lot this season. You know, Aaron's probably a better place to talk about coach than we are, because he spoke to him nearly every Saturday after the game. You know, he knows a bit more about how he thinks about things. You know, he's a good, he's a hockey brain, and he's intense, and he wants to get it right, and he's put his faith in a lot of the guys that perhaps a few of them let him down that season. That's an interesting, you know, decision for me. But you know, I hope he can come back here and right a few wrongs from last season.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think the big thing that I think actually will pay off for him, towards the end of the year, there were a few games where he'd a few niggles or even just chose, actually, and a few of them to stand on the bench. And I think you could see even, you know, just taking that opportunity to watch the game and get the different perspective on it, I think that's going to stand him in good stead going into the next season. You know, he went in this season, he probably played, I don't know, the first 40, 45 games, and it probably was difficult to work out what way to interact with the guys. And I think even on game days, you know, there were a few times when I was, you know, when you're down in the arena before the game and you're watching the guys maybe practice in the morning. And I think it was hard for him sometimes to set himself aside. He was out on the ice, you know, practicing with the guys, but then at what point does he switch to coach, or at what point does he, you know, when's he a player and when's he a coach? That kind of dynamic for him. So I think having had the year, I think he'll understand that a bit more. He's doing all the work during the week. I guess when it comes to maybe say 4 o'clock on game day, it's possibly difficult for him to hand over to Stewie or whoever's, you know, Stewie's looking after the bench for him and things like that. And hopefully, you know, he's developed a bit of a trust there, and he can take that into this new season. And it means that when he comes to game time, he can focus on playing his game. But during the week, he can really focus on working his systems and working what he wants to do on the ice with the team. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to move on at this end, just have a look at the season as a whole in regards to the Elite League. Before we do that, rather than move on a bit of a, downer. It's been an eventful season, from the NCAA to One Direction to the games that we had on the ice and everything. Give us a highlight. Give us one of your highlights of the Belfast Giants this season, Davey.
Paddy, I'm going to give you two. I'll give you one for the Belfast Giants first. The night that the Manchester Storm came back to the Odyssey or the SSE for the first time, you know, Neil, Coach Russell coming back to his stomping ground and the Giants setting and packing. But the two highlights from that game, Chris Higgins, the Belfast Datsuk, returning to Belfast as well. You know, his pass to his through the leg pass from behind the net to Brandon Benedict for a goal, and then his unbelievable play that went worldwide for his pass to Forney to score the sixth goal on the night was something else.
Outstanding, wasn't it?
Just he has that in the locker. He had one away at Coventry as well that went viral. He had another one later in the season. He just the kid's got skills. It remains to be seen whether he'll be back in Taylor for another season. I hope he is. He's one of those players as we mentioned him again, coach. You know, the X factor. He's got that something Ding! Different that he can bring to the game. I haven't had one of those for a while. He brings things to the game. He sees things that other players don't. It's getting a full season out of him. He's been very unlucky with injuries. Hopefully he can come, he can play a 60-game season, and he can get some good numbers up on the board. The other one, just on a personal level, I know it sounds really selfish, no, but the NCAA weekend, when Robert asked you and me to look after the bell pot and take it down to the final, to be entrusted to do that, and just to have a wee bit of experience in that whole weekend, but that to take the trophy down on the final, to see that trophy, that it was a bell from an East Belfast primary school, you know, it meant an awful lot of me. That was, you know, that trophy represented our city, and a brilliant, brilliant weekend. It'll be better this year. There'll be a lot of lessons learned. I know that people have been on saying, you know, this and that about it, things that could be done better. All those things will be taken on board. So, you know, the NCAA tournament this week, this Thanksgiving, as it'll be the Thanksgiving weekend, four unbelievable teams coming. Number one team in the country's coming. It's going to be great again. So last season, that was a big highlight for me.
Aaron, your highlights?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that stand out. There's five goals against the Panthers in the third period. Yeah. When we were sort of looking like we could maybe push back up the league and claim that top spot and the title, perhaps, as the season went on. I thought that was a big statement of intent and a pretty high point. And I think actually one thing we should mention, Matt Nickerson's race for 20 goals. Although he fell short in the end, you know, he gave us that bit of hope and a bit of enjoyment as the season went on.
Well, we reignite that race for 20. We'll speak about that in a second. My own highlights, I have to agree with you, Davey, the NCAA as a sort of an off-ice thing for the Belfast Giants and what was achieved there and that whole, well, I was going to say that whole weekend. Let's cut the Sunday out of it. That whole event was wonderful. It was such great hockey, such a proud moment for the organisation to be able to hold that, and I'm really looking forward to next year's. But regards to on-ice stuff, I'm a man of... I like the small victories, no matter if the war gets won by somebody else. After the whole ridiculous debacle from the Sheffield Steelers clinging on to the coattails of a boy band in order to gain some sort of minor fame and on the back of a negative story, for the Belfast Giants to then go and beat the Sheffield Steelers at the SSE in the game that came just after, despite the fact the Giants did their very best to look after the Steelers fans and this, that and the other, totally ignored by the Steelers organisation themselves. For the guys on the ice to stick it to them, I say, the Steelers went on and won the war, that's fine, but the little battle like that, to win that, I had a wry grin on my face regards to that. Anyway, speaking of the Sheffield Steelers, let's have a look at the Elite League season as a whole. They were the league champions at the end of it all. 34-14-0-4 was their record, with 72 points to top the table. Regards to the Challenge Cup, the Nottingham Panthers beat the Cardiff Devils 1-0 to lift that. And then the Nottingham Panthers went on back at the NIC to win the playoff championship, having beaten the Coventry Blaze 2-0 on the very final game of the season. Aaron, what was your take on this Elite League season? Do you think it was an entertaining season? Our imports go up again next year. We had one import extra coming into this year with regards to the dual national. Was the standard better? Did we have a better game? What did you think?
You know, it was fun. The number of times that the team that looked like it was going to win the league changed was phenomenal, you know. I remember talking to Tomo back in, it must have been October, November time, actually probably around about the time of One Direction Gate that you mentioned there. And, you know, at that point, we'd already seen three or four different league leaders, including, I think, Edinburgh at one point. They were certainly up there. And it was mental, I think, is the best way to describe it. It was just a very strange season. You know, for the first time, we probably did have, you know, the kind of league where on their night anyone could beat anyone, and that did include up to a certain point to the season Edinburgh, who at home especially early on in the season were virtually unbeatable. I think they won something like 10 of 11 games at home or something crazy like that. So, you know, I think for Giants fans the season was maybe tainted a little bit because we weren't seeing as many wins as we would have liked in Belfast, but overall, you know, I think that reflects what I'm saying there. You know, any team could beat any team. You know, Manchester to come in Belfast in their first season and win is a phenomenal result. I mean, I don't want to give a certain person any more of a boost to his ego because he doesn't need it. But to have put together a team that can do that and come in their first season and win in somewhere like Belfast, which, you know, I'm pretty sure the likes of London and so on beforehand never did, you know, the likes of Basingstoke very rarely won in Belfast. So it's an impressive league now. And I think people need to be ready for more of the same looking forward to next year. You know, I think it's going to be very, very similar. And we could see maybe any one of five, six teams challenging again next season.
That's it. It's sort of an interesting season from the start. Davey is, you know, the Manchester Storm coming back in at the Trizzle Dome. And then, as Aaron says, there were various points throughout the season where I personally was convinced that Brayhead were going to take it, and then Cardiff come through and they look like they're the best team in the league, and then they fall away. We pull ourselves back into contention. It seemed to go this way and that all the way through the season, and it kept everybody on the edge of their seat.
It did, but Sheffield never really went away. They hung in there. You know, we wondered with the CHL and them starting so early, would that go against them? But, you know, ultimately, that strong start to the season that they got put them in good stead, and they were able to grind the victories out that they needed to towards the end of the season. You know, they've got great goal scorer Matthew Wise. You know, he's a beast around the net. He came to Belfast and bossed us at times. We just couldn't move him from in front of the net. You know, Mosienko was another fantastic player for them. They've got Jace Coyle on the back end. I don't think he's coming back next season, but, you know, they that just that they were really, really deep, and they got good performances out of their team, you know, more often than not. Their Achilles heel was obviously their goaltending, but they managed to do enough to get over the line. And I don't want to say too much about Nottingham are such a great, you know, team when it comes to cup competitions. They've won that Challenge Cup in the playoffs so many times over the last number of years. It's a conundrum, I suppose, to Corey Nielsen, to Rick Strachan, as to why they can't put a league campaign together. You know, they've done it once in 60 years, and it's just a wonder how they can't get a more consistent challenge at the league. You know, they were there or thereabout towards the end of the season, but you know, that was as other teams fell away, they were coming back into it. But you know, Aaron has said there about, you know, Manchester coming back into the league, and coach picked up a few real great players and the likes of Siska and Scarcella, Salazar. Malik Davis started the season very well, fell away for them. Don't know what his, you know, whether he's returning to Manchester or not this season. You know, they've made a few good signings already there, and you know, it was just one of those seasons that promised so much. And the parody, I think that was a word that was used a lot during the season, about how close any team, literally until the last, you know, until post Christmas when Edinburgh completely collapsed, any team could beat any team, and that included going to Edinburgh. Edinburgh coming to you, they could give you a bloody nose on any given night. And you know, that's great for, you know, the neutral fan, if you like. I want to be, as a Belfast Giant fan, I don't just want to win all four trophies to have a grand slam. I want to win every period. I want to win every game the Giants play. It's not a case, I know that can't happen. I know that's not a realistic, you know, outlook to have, but that's how I feel as a fan. I want to win every single battle that the Belfast Giants go into. And, you know, going forward, we have to learn lessons from this season, that the league has got better. And if you stand still in this league, you get overtaken. That's my big concern about us. I think after the 80 season, we maybe looked at what would won the league so well and so easily at times, that we maybe stood pat a wee bit, and we should have maybe taken that opportunity to take another big Giant step forward. Sorry for the pun there. You know, we are the team that should be setting the benchmark in this league for every other team. We've done it for years. We need to get back to that. Start setting an example where everybody else has to chase us down, instead of us looking, you know, we're looking up at teams at the minute. They should be looking up at us. So, you know, as you said, all we can do now is scrub a line under last season, throw the puck in the bin and move on. It's done to death. It was disappointing for me. It's disappointing for a lot of people. We can't change what's happened. We can only change what's going to happen.
When you look at the season as well, you look at the teams, the way they performed, but I say, you've already brought up the fact that it was this way, that way, certain teams get to the top. What do you think Cardiff are thinking when they look back at this season? Because at some point, or all the way through, especially towards the end of the season, Cardiff were in contention for all three. Now, they picked up the Earhart Conference, and well done to them, but it could so easily have been that Grand Slam.
Yeah, I mean, they can't help but be disappointed. You know, we often talked last year, we knew that they had the rink move hanging over them, and it sort of kept getting pushed back and pushed back.
That was a real thing of the season, wasn't it? It sort of hung over the whole season about that move to the rink, and well, how it would affect them.
Sort of, it's funny as well, you know, everyone sort of said, oh, it won't matter. It sort of seemed to be that once they did finally get the move, and the move was very, I mean, I think they were looking to get in around Christmas time. We talked about how much of a benefit the Big Blue Tent's been to them, but it's sort of this lice and the intimidating atmosphere and so on. And then once they did get moved, now fair enough, I think they may well have fallen out of contention by the time they did get moved. I can't remember, but or maybe not out of contention, but certainly from top spot. But it just did seem to be, maybe it was a coincidence, but it seemed around the time that they were getting ready to move, they did just slip in pretty much everything, as you say, and ended up with they won a bit more than us, as you say, but they won the same number of important trophies as ourselves in the end, and I think they have to be disappointed with that.
I think I went back to that two back-to-back games against the Sheffield Steelers, where they won at the Sheffield Arena, and you speak to some of the guys involved with the Cardiff Devils and some of their fans, it seemed to be that they thought at that point that was, you know, they were destined to go on and win it, and it was from that point that things sort of started to unravel for them. And then they, you know, they get beat at Nottingham quite heavily, they get beat in the Challenge Cup final, and then they get beat quite convincingly by the Coventry Blaze in the playoffs. And speaking of the Coventry Blaze, Davey, Chuck Webber came into this season on the back of a successful NDS previous season, picking up a playoff trophy for the Blaze. It didn't work out for the Blaze at all, and well, Chuck's now moved on. But what do you think was the problem for the Blaze this season?
That's a million-dollar question, because you look at the league champions, the Sheffield Steelers were dominant, and the Coventry Blaze dominated them all season long. Yeah. Were the 9-1 through 10 games against them or something, you know, something ridiculous like that. So they had it in the locker. It was about getting it out on a weekly basis. And I know Kiefer had a bit of a jibe about them, you know, mail your season in and play good for four games or whatever to, you know, get to the playoff finals. It isn't good enough for a team that has the history of the Coventry Blaze. It should be competing more. And it's funny that, you know, Webber came in sort of mid-season, the previous season, guided them through a bit of a stuttery start to his career there and got them the playoff victory. And this season, you know, everyone wanted, you know, how many teams wanted Chuck Webber over the summer? He wasn't able to turn that club into a championship contending club or even a conference contending club. There were also rounds for the vast majority of the season. And okay, they go through the playoffs again and they have a run. And as we've said there, you only need to win the playoffs in this country, you only need to be good for 2 weeks. It's a conundrum. They've obviously brought Danny Stewart in there now to try and rejuvenate the club. They've done it a lot since Tomo left. But, like, you know, who do you replace Alex Ferguson with? Who do you replace Paul Thompson with? And they've had a whole lot of people in there now that have had an opportunity, and some of them have gone on to better things. Some of them have faded away. We don't know what Chuck Webber's going to do with his time now. But, you know, it's a Coventry Blaze, a strong Coventry Blaze is good for the league. And let's see what Danny Stewart can do going forward.
Any real surprises this season, Aaron? Anything that really stood out you were quite surprised at?
How well Edinburgh started, and then equally how badly. Actually, I'm not going to pick on Edinburgh anymore. I think I've been doing that pretty much all season. But yeah, I think that's the Edinburgh, how well they started and then how badly they fell away. Coventry, actually, I think we talked on it there. I mean, the run they went on at the end of last season to get, you know, to come from where they were and to win the playoffs. You sort of thought coming into the year they would be a threat, and they really weren't. In fact, they were pretty pitiful, although, you know, things did turn around for them. So I think those are the two. Dundee perhaps having a bit of a say.
That's the one I was just thinking of.
Yeah, you know, Dundee having a bit of a say and being towards the top of the league at certain stages of the season as well. We're probably I suppose it was a surprise, but it was a pleasant one from that point of view. So yeah, I think those would be the three main things there.
Davey, your BFF, a big surprise for you this season?
Not a big surprise for me at all. You know, I know the guy's got, he assembled a good team there. He's already assembled, you know, a lot of the parts of a very strong roster there this season. But, you know, some of the players, Bobby Shimon, obviously, coming in there, another 30 goals, Justin Farina, 29 goals, Lou Dickinson, I think he would have been coveted. I think Dickinson retired, am I right in saying?
Yes, he did.
You know, I think he would have been coveted by a lot of teams around the league. Curtis Lingweber, I think he played in Edinburgh before,
yes.
Came in there, done a really good job. Switzers, you know, they had a really, really strong team. I think they were let down at times by their goaltending situation, and they just maybe just weren't deep enough. I think they might have an extra few quid this year. Obviously, the extra import's going to help them out a lot as well, and they'll be a force to be reckoned with in the Gardner Conference again going forward. And you know, they've obviously brought in the kid from Manchester. They've signed Scarsella from Manchester, isn't that right?
No, haven't they?
So you know, they'll be expecting things from him. They'll have a good power play unit again, and I'm not sure if they've moved. What do you call a goaltender they've signed there?
Oh, I can't remember.
Paddy, they've signed an absolute stud of a goaltender whose name has totally escaped me. Apologies. We'll tweet it out, but we'll not. they've got really, really good goaltending next season, and that's a crucial position in this league, you know. And we'll maybe talk about our goaltending situation later in the show, but I think Dundee will be a really, really good team going forward.
That's it. Let's draw a line under it, gentlemen. The 2015-2016 Elite League season is done. And we can look ahead. We can look ahead now to the 16-17 season, which is coming along in a few short months. You've still got your summer to do it. Looking at the Giants, the roster's already being put together. Of course, we've got Derek Walser returning for his second season in charge. I'm assuming that's still as a player coach. That hadn't been confirmed either way, I don't believe. Adam Keefe was announced as the returning captain. Once again, wonderful to have the big man back wearing the letter. And then last night, the 9th of May, the season ticket holder event was taken took place at the SSE, where seven players were announced: Mike Forney, Matt Nickerson, Jonathan Boxall, Mark Garside, James Demarai, David Rutherford, who we'll hear from in a moment, and Brandon Benedict, all announced as returnees for the Belfast Giants. No new names, not yet anyway. Aaron, your thoughts on how the roster with these new players coming in?
Well, there's no new players there now, Patty.
These returning players coming in.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I want to say, I mean, I've seen a lot of reaction on Twitter and for my sins on the Facebook forum. And I have to say, I mean, for anyone who thought that the... Yeah, I notice you've mentioned it in your agenda here, so I'm going to jump straight to it. For anyone who thought that cleaning house meant that we were going to basically sign 19, 20 completely new players, needs to catch a grip. I mean, there was always going to be a certain percentage of last year's roster who, first of all, deserved to come back, and secondly, were going to come back. I mean, from memory, I think James Demarai certainly was on a two-year deal, I think, and Jonathan Boxall as well. Now, I know that... Obviously, Coach Walser, during several of his interviews, said that he didn't care about two-year deals and all that kind of thing. But I think for those two guys especially, you know, I don't think there was ever any real doubts that they would be back. I think that what we've done here, and I agree with it, is we've put together a bit of a core of the better, in my opinion, you know, the better players from last year, the guys who performed. Brandon Benedict started last season as a spare and ended the season as an MVP. You know, why would you not have someone like that on the ice every single night? Mike Forney, certainly for the last part of the season, especially after a bit of a challenging time, I think he had maybe personally around Christmas and things like that. But towards the end of the season was absolutely, you know, was the guy that came as advertised from Sheffield. Jonathan Boxall, what a player. You know, I think he surprised everyone with how good he was. And in my opinion, you know, I've seen what he can do previously in previous teams. You know, he's put up more points. So I think there's potentially more from him to come there. And David Rutherford, I mean, we just have to look at the impact he had whenever he signed. So I think the guys that are named there, certainly I have no arguments with any of them.
It's interesting, is that the whole first, I think it was a frustrating comment for him, for Walser in particular, when he did say, you know, he will clean house, he doesn't care. And that clean house, inverted commas, phrase stuck with it. The fact that maybe there were a lot of people frustrated as well. Well, there were a lot of people frustrated at how the team were playing and thinking, you know, we've got to get rid of some of the dead wood, some of the people. And they're seeing 7, 8, 9, possibly you could end up with double figures, 10 or 12 players coming back from last year's team. And seeing that happening, there might be people looking at this team thinking, well, where's the clean house? Davey, Aaron's got a point that it wasn't going to be a completely new roster.
I think this is your, you know, expectation versus reality, as Aaron has said there. You know, when you're spring cleaning yourself, you don't throw all your furniture out. You have to clean it. You have to freshen things up. And, you know, last season was disappointing. Players underperform. Some of those underperforming players are coming back and getting another chance. You know, they came with good CVs. Some of them have been here before and underperformed. It is time for those guys to step up. And I think going forward, we're in a different position where I think cleaning house means that it's a fluid situation now for Coach Walser. If he wants to make those changes going forward, guys have got an opportunity now to right some wrongs, but they're going to have to really earn their ice time. Interesting, some players have left the club. You've got to earn your ice time, and you've got to do that on every given night. You've got to do that every shift. You can't, you know, there's no guarantees in this game. You've got to go out and earn your right to play for the Belfast Giants. It's a prestigious club in this league to play for. You know, of the players that come back, I haven't got any complaints. There's no real players there that I would have went. Maybe one or two of them have question marks about because of their production over the course of the season and their streakiness. But, you know, if you had a, you know, I like these players. I'd like to see them doing really well for the Belfast Giants. And all of them bring different things and different strengths, and some of them have different weaknesses that need worked on and coached on. And you know, there's no worries there for me at the minute. And I think the clean house thing is something that the coach is probably regretting saying just as much, because he's given himself a bit of a rod for his own back there as to why he's not doing it. I think there'll actually be more than maybe 9 or 10, Paddy. I think you're probably looking into 12, 13 minimum of these guys coming back. And we were so close last season. We said it earlier in the show there. Different games here and there. Half a dozen games across a 63-game season. 10% of our season was the failure. We need to correct that 10%. We don't need to correct 80% of what went on last season. Okay, at times we were poor. We are not escaping that. We're not trying to get away from that. But we weren't, awful for 90% of the season. We were awful for 10, 20% of the season. That's what needs corrected. It's not wholesale changes needed. It's those minor things that need adjusted. And that's also part of the coach's learning curve. He'll get those things right over the summer. He's got a good team in place there, good background team in place, and he has to get that right, because it's his job. And if he doesn't do it right, it'll not be his job anymore.
There's a pressure on him there. There definitely is a pressure on him now, because he's fully in control. Okay, Steve Thornton works alongside him in regards to recruiting this team, but he came in quite late to a team that was more or less in place. Now he's in a position now where these players aren't signed without Derek Walser saying sign them. Therefore, with the team, and everybody's saying about how we underachieved last season, I agree, we did underachieve last season. So if we're bringing back the same players, or a majority of the same, or a number of the same players, then the coach who has decided that he has to bring them back, then he is the guy who has to basically turn around and get more out of them than we got last season. So there's a pressure on Derek Walser now. In his second season, you can't lean back and say to yourself, well, these aren't his players. These are now 100% Derek Walser chosen players. I know what you're saying, these guys have to come back and show their worth. Maybe they didn't perform as well last season as this season. Equally, on the coach has to be able to get more out of them. I think it's interesting. No, I don't believe... a lot of people pointing fingers saying this player is rubbish and this player is rubbish and why are we bringing them back? One mediocre season does not make a bad player, especially with the CVs that a lot of these guys have. But the pressure is most certainly at the top with regards to bringing these guys back. I'll be honest with you guys. When I first heard these seven names, and this is not a reflection on the whole thing, I was a little bit underwhelmed. I was hoping for something a little bit more fresh, something for a little bit more, we see Derek Walser today with regards to an interview he did with Sizz on Belfast Giants TV and his magnificent hair. Derek Walser talking about how he wants a faster team, a more disciplined team. So we have to go out and we have to find that freshness. We have to find the players to give that slight edge. He says he needs to go out and find the horses. And we need to find something that's going to give belief, I think, to the home fans. Because the frustration that we had last season, I know we said we've drawn a line under it, but you've got to understand that moving into this forthcoming season, there are people going to be looking at Forney, Nickerson, Boxall, Garside, Demaray, Rutherford, Benedict, Keith, Walser, and they know what they expect there, or they've seen these players already. They're hoping to get more from them, but there needs to be, Aaron, a little bit more of an edge coming through.
Definitely, but I mean, most of the players that we bring in come from North America. Look across to North America. NHL playoffs are still going.
Yeah.
ECHL playoffs are still going. AHL playoffs are still going.
Yeah.
Junior
players aren't available.
Are still going. The guys that are going to make a difference, the guys that are going to come across and be the real top star players are still playing hockey at the minute. We're not going to be able to sign them until they know where they're going to be next year or where they're going to be. So, look, get the skeleton of the roster in place. We've said that it wasn't far off winning. It was vastly disappointing. There were a lot of performances that left a lot to be desired. But get the skeleton in place, and then towards the end, think of guys that we've picked up late in previous off-seasons. Jeff Suez, I think, signed after we'd started the season. And look how good he was. Look at the difference he made. If we can pick up a player like that in late August, early September, who's basically going to put the team on his back and carry them, I would rather wait for that than just sign someone now because they're available.
Any other names from last year's roster, Davey, that you look at and you think, actually, I want them back? Because one that stands out for me is maybe Jim Vandermeer.
Vandermeer, I would love to have back. I would say that there's another nine teams in the league that would be coveting his name as well. And, Jim's one that I'm sure that Walser and Thorch are working on very, very hard to get him back here. I don't know whether a deal can be done or not. You know, it'd be really, really good because he made a massive difference when he came in. Massive difference. And, it'd be really good to have back in Teal for another season. And dear knows what contacts he has as well that, Walser's picking on. And other names, Higgy, I've already said earlier, the Belfast Datsuk, would love to see him back in Teal. Stephen Murphy, for me, has to come back, but I'm one of these ones now with this extra import. I would love to see us operate a tandem because I believe that a fresh Stephen Murphy can be a championship-winning goalie. I think that I don't believe, and this is not a slight on Stephen Murphy, not saying he's not the goalie he was, I don't believe the intensity of this league, as the import levels go up, the intensity night in, night out, you're maybe going to have 3-3s again this season with going to Scotland, having those back-to-back-to-back games. It's hard on a goaltender. And if we have that goalie, I'm not trying to retire Deco either, by the way. We have to have a top-level goalie that can give Stephen Murphy the opportunity to have days off from practice, to have nights off from playing, that he's not having to play 65 games, that he maybe only has to play 40 games in a season, and that goaltender that can come in and play maybe 20-odd games. I'd love to see us run on that kind of system. I think you'll see other teams within the league this season going for a pair of goals.
You look at
how Nottingham ended the season with Wiegman and Matt Laura in nets. You know, it gave them the opportunity to have fresh goaltending every night, every weekend. And for me, those guys, so I see obviously Colin Shields I'd like to see coming back as well. I think our British core to retain them.
Yep.
We've lost Craig Peacock to the shopping centre in Glasgow. So I'd like to see Sheds coming back. I'd like to see Deco, Murph, Higgy and Vandermeer. And I know we're saying about cleaning the house, and that's where I'm saying we only need that four or five changes from last season, I think, to be very, very competitive this season. But those changes need to be at the very, very top end of the game. They need to be high, high-quality players that have come with either great experience or great speed. Or, you know, as Coach called them a while back, young and horny, you know, guys that want to come in and make an impression, get their opportunity in Europe, use Belfast as a springboard to the DEL, to the top Swedish leagues, is when we were so good there. You know, so that's just kind of my view on it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Let's move ahead with a bit of an interview. This man arrived late from Edinburgh, but set about making quite an impression with the Giants fans through his take-no-prisoners attitude on the ice. He's back in Teal for next season, as we just spoke about, and Davey got the chat earlier today with David Rutherford.
Well, on the first of our A View from the Bridge summer specials, we're delighted to welcome back a returning giant from last season. That's Davey Rutherford. And Davey, welcome back to Belfast.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. You know, I'm extremely excited about the next season to be. I'm happy as heck to be in a Teal.
Easy decision to come back, easy contract negotiations?
Yeah, no, I knew before the season even ended, my heart was set to be back in Belfast. So it was something about just letting my agent kind of do a little bit of the work. But like more or less, like I this is somewhere I wanted to be. I didn't really have any interest in looking anywhere else. And it's for me, it was an easy decision, and I'm just really excited about the opportunity to try and do something special next year. It's been my first full season in Belfast.
You know, the coach said a few times about, especially towards the end of what was a disappointing end of the season, that he was going to clear house. But, you know, the way things are shaping up, it looks like he's going to give the majority of last season's roster, you know, another bite at the cherry. Do you expect the guys to come back in extra motivated after what was a disappointing end of the season?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think last season for me and a lot of the guys will be a season of missed opportunities. So I know a lot of guys have a lot of time to reset this summer and whatnot and kind of get away from hockey and get in better shape and reset. So that's something I know guys feel unfulfilled with last season, and I think that's something whenever you get kind of knocked out that quick or don't end the season as quite as the way you'd want to, you know, it's kind of you got to do little things different to get back to that jump. I think a lot of guys are going to come in better shape, and guys will be more hungry, I believe.
And I suppose we've been criticised, not least by Steve Thornton from last season, for being a bit too perimeter of a team, and you know, a lot of guys not wanting to willing to pay that price to go into that blue paint. That's something that you were specifically hired to do last year. Do you still see that as your role going forward?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like, I don't really need anyone to tell me like that role. That's just the type of player I am. I feel like for me to be successful, I have to be getting into the front of the net and getting into that blue paint. And I think there's going to be a lot more of it next year. So I kind of feel like at some points I was feeling my way out, coming in late with the team. And I know I'll have a bigger role next year. And I'm really looking forward to cherishing the opportunity to succeed, you know, and get to play a full year under Walsey. And we have such a good core coming back that it'll be a great opportunity. So it's something for me. I just want to make sure I'm coming in the best shape possible, with a full four months off here to train and whatnot, and just do everything I can now to be ready to have such a great season next year. Because it's not a light switch. You can't just turn it on. Preparation's already under its way. And that's something that I think every single guy on the team knows that they have to do. We all have to come in better shape.
And I suppose off the ice then, you know, you were really embraced by the fans of Belfast. Belfast fans have always loved, you know, the blue-collar guy, the guy that comes to work every night. And you seem more than happy to pay them back with your time after games. You know, you interact with them on Twitters. Have you found a bit of a hockey home here?
Yeah, no, like I said, I've been fortunate enough to play in a lot of places. But for me, only being in Belfast for 3 months, it felt like the happiest place I've ever come across in my career. I feel very thankful for the opportunity to play in Belfast and play in front of the fans. And, you know, in my opinion, like I always just think that you never know. Each night it might be someone's first game, so you got to kind of give them your best every time. Some nights it doesn't work as well as you'd want to, but I think for me, you know, like that's my job. And if I can't give 110% each night, I'll find something else to do. But for now, I feel like that's something I can do for a few more years.
And what's the summer holding for you now? You're obviously back in Belfast today. You're no doubt going to get yourself down to the Belfast Bacon Company there, one of your sponsors and good friends. Are you looking forward to a bit of downtime, but with a bit of you know, training in between?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've done quite a bit of training since I got back home, but it's one of those things that you can't really just jump fully into it as much as you want. It's something I've kind of eased my way back into, especially with not having any injuries. I think after this season, it's been something where I haven't ever in the past had a chance to really like have a summer vacation, where like now coming back here and getting to go to the Grand Prix next week with my sponsor, the Belfast Bacon Company. It's something I'm very fortunate to. And I think that all comes down to like, I've met some amazing people here and made some great friendships. There's no doubt why so many guys want us to continue to play in Belfast. It's, in my opinion, it's the pinnacle of the league. It's somewhere you want to be. I take extreme pride in being able to come and play for the Giants. And, I think that's something that every guy looks forward to. Everyone that I know would love to play for the Giants. It's just one of those organizations that you consider, I'd say, like similar to the Montreal Canadiens, but over here in the UK. It's something I take extreme pride in, and I'm very fortunate to have a chance to come back here next year and hopefully have an even bigger breakout season.
Well, David, that's very lovely words about our organization and our city. And well, thank you for joining this week. Enjoy your summer holidays. Enjoy Barcelona with Paul, and we'll look forward to catching up with you closer to the start of the season.
Absolutely. You guys have a great summer as well.
Right, welcome back to David, and thanks very much for his time. Let's have a look around the league. Quite a few stories around the league in the last couple of weeks that we've been off the air, so to speak. Some real arrivals and departures. Only one place to start, really, Aaron. After, what is it, I'm looking at Davey's stats here. After 423 games of the Belfast Giants, that's 164 goals, 187 assists, that's 351 points. Craig Peacock departs to join the Brayhead clan. Your thoughts?
You know, in many ways, it's disappointing that the Peacock's time with Belfast has ended on. I suppose it's a bit of a downer. I think last year he really didn't have the kind of season that he would have liked. There were a lot of games where, you know, things just weren't going his way. And I think it showed, his frustration actually, I think, showed and really came to a head when we saw that incident where he, well, I suppose whenever he was playing for us, he accidentally tapped Stefan Hogarth in the back of the legs. But we saw that incident where he two-handed the referee across the back of the legs with one vicious slash. So, you know, I think it's a shame, but unfortunately sometimes in sport and in life and everything, it just comes to a point where there's a natural break and it suits both parties maybe to move on. And I think that this is what's happened for Peaks here. You know, I think we've got to thank him for the everything he's done. I think he won, was it three championships in Belfast? You know, played some hugely important games, scored some massive goals for us. And has entertained, you know, the fans in Belfast, and sure he'll do the same in Brayhead, and hopefully he'll become part of the fabric over there where they come close and then fall away at the end of the season.
While at the Belfast Giants, he was awarded the Best British Forward in 2012-13. He was a two-time Elite League champion, 11-12 and 13-14, a two-time conference champion, and he also had the most goals by a British player in the 14-15 season, and of course he was part of that playoff winning team in 2010. And Davey, you know, 7 seasons of the Giants, okay, he had that little bit of a flirtation in Denmark, but he came back to the Odyssey to play in Teal, and you know, maybe over the last couple of seasons we've not seen the best of Craig Peacock, but this move could be good for the player.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as Aaron's also said there, you know, you have to say thanks for coming, Craig. And absolutely, it's been a pleasure at times to watch him play. And I think he's been frustrated maybe with his role at times this season. When Peaks got on a line, when he got going with someone like that season he had with Robert Dowd, you know, they were an unstoppable force. And you pair him up with the right people, give him the right ice time. You know, if he gets himself fit, as if his head's in the right place, he's a great player in this league. You know, I think he finishes franchise leading 49 power play goals. You know, he always had that ability, that knack of finding space at the back post.
Back door, yes.
And he could, I remember you asked him in an interview about how much he practiced, you know, putting pucks in, you know, a tiny, tiny slot. He was so, so good at just finding that little hole. And he'll be missed. I don't think he's been at his best this last sort of 2 seasons. I think that, as Aaron said there, change is as good as a rest. You know, he came back from Denmark. He won championships with us. We have to say thank you to him for that. We wish him all the very best and, you know, except against us. And, you know, I can't really say anything more. He was a great player for us in his day. It's all good things come to an end, and he goes with our, you know, we thank him for all the time he gave AVFTB, and we just wish him all the best.
I think for me, one of the standout, it was just like you say with Robert Dowd, that 11-12 season. I'm looking at his stats. He had 72 points from 59 games in the regular season, and for a British forward, that's outstanding. Yes, last couple of seasons he's only managed 41 points from around 50-60 games, but like you say, a change is as good as a rest, and no doubt the Brayhead clan have picked up a great player, and what they say, we wish him well. He's always been great to us and coming on and chatting, a top fella as well. And disappointing to see him go from the Belfast Giants, because of course the Belfast Giants have been the only team in the Elite League he's ever played for, with Steve Thornton and Todd Kelman snapping him up from under the nose of Paul Thompson and bringing him over to Belfast that year. But you know, no doubt he'll do well at the clan, just hopefully not well against the Belfast Giants. In other news around the league, Irvin Mustakovs is a name we haven't heard in quite a few years. The netminder's returning to the Sheffield Steelers, Marek Pintz being dispensed with after his championship, and a former championship winner being put in there. Interesting one, Davey.
It's a name I never wanted to hear again.
I know.
After that, do you remember that night, Paddy, in Ice Sheffield, where he won the Sheffield Steelers the league?
We couldn't.
It's funny too. We talk with Steve Thornton's interview there the other week about being perimeter, not being prepared to go into the blue paint to take the damage to score the goal. That night in Ice Sheffield was a microcosm of that statement. If we had went to the blue paint where we could not get a garbage goal that night, we dominated Sheffield that night on their own ice, and we just couldn't. One goal to win a championship. We'd won that night, we won the league, and we just couldn't get the puck across the line because of that goaltender. This is a quality signing for the Sheffield Steelers. Big statement of intent. Is he still the goaltender he was 5 years ago? I don't know. His numbers would suggest that he is. His numbers suggest it was Tomo called him Mr. 92%. You know, if you get a goaltender over the course of the season, saves at 0.92, you've got a real, real chance of silverware on every, you know, on every front. So big signing for them. And man, it gives me nightmares.
Do you know what? I remember that all too well. Just sat there and we just couldn't find a way to get by him. It was ridiculous at times. And as you say, it was one of those games where if we win that, we win the championship. And I hope he's not as good as he was then. We've already said Chuck Webber has departed the Coventry Blaze. Danny Stewart, who was the number two to Todd Doodium in Fife, gets his first full-time coaching role. Of course, he was a player coach at the Newcastle Vipers, but the first full-time coaching role at the Coventry Blaze. He's had a bit of a big cull. He's released Velebic, Isaacs, Tanaka, Quinnell, Lauzon, and Walker from the lineup. Ashley Tate has taken a role as his assistant coach. It's a real big switch over there, Aaron, that the Coventry Blaze have taken.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about earlier, you know, it was a surprise how poor they were, especially out of the gate at the start of the year. Chuck Webber's gone for whatever reason. I think it's a bit of a, you know, Chuck Webber was a bit of a left field, I think, appointment for them when he came in a year and a half ago. This time they've gone a bit more for the safe option. I mean, Danny Stewart, another one of those fellas that, you know, has always been very, very friendly with us and happy to chat with us. It'll be interesting to see how he does stepping up. I think it'll be another tough season, though, for the Blaze.
This is another in the long line. Dave, you brought up the phrase earlier on, how do you replace Paul Thompson? Now, we've had Matty Soderstrom. We've had Chuck Webber, both of which didn't cut the mustard in the end. Okay, Chuck Webber brought back a playoff title, but that's you know, 2 weeks of performance. We've now got Danny Stewart coming in as a full-time coach for, let's say, a rookie season. Okay, like I say, he's been an assistant coach and he's been a coach with the Newcastle Vipers. But is this just another roll of the dice for the Coventry Blaze?
Interesting. After Tomo left, Soderstrom came in, and then you've had obviously Mark Lefebvre. You've had Chuck Webber, and they've all made statements that they're going to, you know, kick the doors off the country club, and big attitudinal changes needed made there, and players running the show rather than the coach, you know, being the man in charge. And Webber came in and he really made a statement of intent to say that things are going to change, and the change short term, but obviously last season, you know, bit too much player power there, and you know, Stewart has came in and threw his cards straight on the table. There's no messing about. Fans aren't wondering when Velabic's going to be, you know, introduced back to the crowd. Tanaka, who was a great player for that club.
Surprised me, that one.
You know, he's came in, gone, 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 bang, bang, you're out of here. And Carlos on. All players that allegedly are on big money as well, you know. So he's got a budget to play with there. He must know what he wants to do. Danny Stewart, I am certain, will build with size. He will go in there, not perhaps a goon squad of Newcastle Vipers days of old, but I think he will build a team there that'll be very, very much, much harder to beat. I think at times Coventry were too easy to beat. They relied a lot on Brian Stewart. Brian Stewart played really well. He gave them a chance and they weren't getting goals. At the start of the season, they were brutal, beyond brutal. They couldn't get a goal. They couldn't get a win. And anything they came up with was on Brian Stewart's back. If he had any kind of off night at all, and we've seen, certainly in Belfast, he could be got at. I'm not saying he's weak mentally, but there was nights he could be got at. And if you got at him, Coventry were beaten. And I think that this season, he'll build big at the back. He'll be very, very strong. It'll be hard to beat. But yeah, it's another roll of dice. It's a club that just hasn't got settled again after Tomo leaving. Somebody being like Tomo was there from the club's inception, from the Solihull days, that moved to Coventry to the Sky Dome. You know, he was that constant. He was the common denominator, and he had a lot of respect from, and he could go anywhere across Europe and bring players in, and he gained instant respect. Whereas guys that have maybe just finished playing, guys who maybe are getting their first coaching role, or Chuck Webber even coming in from outside the league, players maybe just not giving the respect or due. Danny Stewart, club legend down there, will demand respect. And, you know, going forward, it's going to be remain to be seen just what he builds over the next. But he started well with a few signings there. We've heard about a few things that are in the pipeline for them. So, they'll be much harder to beat this season. I don't expect them to be bottom feeding.
It'll be interesting to see if Danny Stewart builds a team in the mould of Danny Stewart, the Coventry Blaze player. Because that was one.
He'll certainly give them more bite.
Oh dear. Controversial. Mick Wakeman is back between the pipes in Nottingham. And we mentioned it earlier on, Vinny Scarsella moves from Manchester to Dundee. That was an interesting one, Davey. Sort of surprised me, that.
Yes, big surprise. I know that Mark Lefebvre will be obviously trying to... Always at this time of the year, coaches zone in on who the best players were in the league the previous season, try to sign a lot of them. We talked about Jim Vandermeer. I'm sure there's contract offers from all around the league. And these players that score a lot of points, especially in the conference, you know, there'd be teams within that conference that go and try and get them in. And I don't know the reason why he has particularly gone for Dundee, whether Manchester, I haven't spoke to coach about it. I don't know if Manchester tried to get him back. I'm sure and certain they did, because, you know, he scored, 70 points or something off the top of my head, you know.
Yeah.
But he will bring something different. Dundee had to replace Dickinson. They needed to bring someone. They needed to move. Some clubs like to do their business early. As Aaron said, there's a lot of playoffs still going on. You know, the Belfast Giants will be looking for AHL, drop-out NHL quality, top-level ECH guys. These guys want to get people in. They want to get their roster cemented and then add to it really late in the summer, where we'll try and probably build a core and then add to the core towards the end of the summer. He's going to be good. He's going to work on the power play for them. He'll play special teams. I'm sure he'll play penalty kill as well. And he's very, very good even strength player. They've signed a really, really good player there. He's proven in the Gardner Conference that he will put up big points. He's a really good addition to the jigsaw puzzle there.
With Vince Garcelle, as you said, you know, brilliant player for the Manchester Storm. Storm had to move quickly to sort of replace. They brought in a guy, Mark Heatley, from DEL2. But they've also... One of their main stumbling blocks last season was trying to get that British core. And one of the players they brought in pretty quickly was Jack Prince, announced during the playoff weekend. Prince coming in from NCAA. Of course, he's played GB. I think he was playing under... No, he played... Was it under 21 or something? He certainly has played GB, and he's now part of the Manchester Storm for his first season in the Elite League, coming out of the University of Alabama. And Aaron, that's a move that coach and Omar Pasha made very quickly, and I know that they were very excited about, and it's a good start to building the Storm's British core.
Yeah, it's a very clever move, actually, as well, to pick up on a guy of that sort of, you know, that potential, I suppose, is probably the word we're looking for there. A young guy who's going to be, you know, we talked about it in relation to the Giants, bringing in some younger guys that are hungry and so on. I think it's a fantastic move for them. And I think, you know, I know for a fact that you know, Manchester were sort of looking long before the end of last season for moves, looking in to build for this season. And I presume this is one of them, and I think it's a great move for them, and I'm very pleased that they've been able to put together something like this. And I hope there's more of the same to come, because, you know, they've worked hard last season, you know, 28 hours a day and all that, but they deserve to get a bit of reward for what they've done there last year.
Yeah, most definitely. Let's return to the coaching side of it. Gerry Anderson. Not that Gerry Anderson, or the other Gerry Anderson, a third Gerry Anderson, formerly of Troy Alumbi, has joined Paul Thompson in Sheffield, sort of reunited with Paul Thompson. Paul Thompson was number two at Troy, and now it's the other way around. Anderson comes in to replace Daryl Hay, who was quite unceremoniously dumped by the Sheffield Steelers, Davey.
Yeah, it's sad to see that, you know, the Sheffield Steelers can say so many good things about the coach Daryl Hay, and then treat him so abysmally, because some of the reports that are coming out there just from Daryl Hay himself, you know, leaves a lot to be desired. It's no surprise to us. You know, what we've said before, not a particularly classy organisation at times, but Darrell Hale will no doubt pop up again in hockey somewhere this season. Jerry Anderson coming in with a lot of experience and obviously worked with Tomo before. As I said earlier in the podcast as well, you stand still, you get overtaken. Those guys are putting in big strides. They want to change the whole, you know, ethos of that club. They want to go forward. They're having a very, very European model to their club. But can't say they're wrong. You know, they're there, thereabouts every season. They've won the league a couple of times now, and they're in the CHL again. It's looking good for them there. It's not looking good for Darrell Hay, as we said. It's disappointing how it's ended for him there, but, you know, all good things for Sheffield.
And also today, in a coaching matter, Riley Emerson has fully retired from professional ice hockey. He'll not be back with the Edinburgh Capitals. You were speaking about the Capitals earlier, Aaron, and it's all changed for them at the coaching in the coaching role.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big sort of plus points for them last year was definitely, you know, what Riley Emerson did, the guys that he was able to recruit. I think that's going to be in fact, you know, even towards the end of the season, you remember him playing a period with a badly broken arm and all that kind of thing. You know, I think he's going to be a massive loss for them, and it's going to be absolutely crucial who they get in now to replace him. You know, I wonder if Tony Hahn might be available soon. It could be the perfect fit, but maybe not get into that particular side of the hockey politics in this podcast, or we could be here for 3 or 4 hours. But you know, I think it's absolutely massive who they managed to bring in there. You know, you've got to give them time to maybe make the right appointment, but equally, I think next season's a massive, massive season for the Capitals. You've got Milton Keynes coming in a couple of years' time. You've potential for the likes of London. The EPL, I mean, as I said, I don't want to get into politics, but the EPL seems to be struggling a little bit. You know, teams are struggling in there. So
they've upped their imports as well in the EPL. Yeah,
you know, and you wonder, is there going to be another sort of shift in the landscape of hockey in this country in the next year or two? And you've got teams in that EPL with massive potential. I mean, obviously Milton Keynes are one. You got to look at Guildford, Basingstoke have been up before. You know, you got to look at it like that kind of way. And I think for Edinburgh, this could very well be a make or break season for them. Because I think the elite league's getting stronger, and I think it might have options in a couple of years' time that maybe aren't there now.
I just don't think. Sorry to jump in there, Paddy. I don't think anything will change in Edinburgh this season. The offer of support from the league was there. Scott Neil turned it down. I've banged Scott Neil's drum for years and said, you know, how great it is that he's putting money in and he's keeping it going in there.
Absolutely.
It's just not washing anymore. You know, Coach used to hammer Edinburgh, and I would be the one going, oh, Coach, you're being a bit harder. I don't think he is. I think it's unacceptable what happened to a lot of players last year, and nobody will speak out about it. I think a few players have came out and said a few things about it. Everybody wants to protect themselves and protect their jobs. But enough's enough. Edinburgh have to sort themselves out. And quite, but I just don't see that the want is there from within, from Scott Neil himself, to sort things out enough. I think he's happy there to, you know, just to take over, and that's not what's needed here. To be competitive in this league is what's required now. There's no point being the 10th team every year. You know, you're cheating the paying public. And one thing I think that's going to happen this season, interesting that they brought Single back in to look after the SANL team.
Yeah.
I wonder now, will Single just be offered that, you know, step up role? Do you know, club legend, do you want to take this on, Martin, and see what you can do with it?
You'll bring back Dino Baiba.
Right, check.
Let's wrap up this around the league. So CHL, the Sheffield Steelers were drawn in Group P against Red Bull Salzburg of Austria, coached by Dan Ratuzny, former Scottish Eagle, and then he went on to the Dundee Stars when they folded. And they've also been drawn against HV 71 of Sweden. I think that's a former team of Chris Beach, possibly. That's on the top of my head, just I recognise that name. Anyway, and finally, there's an opportunity here for the Belfast... Sorry, I was about to say the Belfast Giants. It's not the Belfast Giants. For the SSE Arena in Belfast to hold the IIHF World Championships in 2017. It's between Belfast and Tallinn to hold the Division 1B in next April. The competition will involve Team GB, Estonia, Lithuania, and newly promoted Netherlands and Japan. Aaron, that's a hell of an opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and I really hope that they get it. You know, I think we've talked a few times of how I, you know, maybe don't necessarily, you know, I struggle sometimes to get behind GB. I mean, obviously, I follow the Giants players and things like that. But I think I'd love to go to one of these events and see if just attending it might help maybe with, you know, on a personal level to buy into it a little bit more. And if it, you know, it might give me a peek, a bit of interest there. I think there's a lot of people in Belfast who could be the same. I mean, I did laugh a wee bit at some of the flag talk that appeared whenever I saw that, you know, they were talking about bringing GB here. The GB fans are known for some of their interesting costumes. You know, I did have a bit of a chuckle over some of the reactions from fans who seem to think that Belfast is 1985, and some fans from Belfast who were trying to prove that. I think there could be challenges around it, but I think it would be a fantastic event, and it would just be another feather in the cap of the Odyssey Trust to bring such an event. You know, a World Championships. You know, we've had some events in the past with the Police and Fire Games. We've had you know, the Special Olympics have been held here. Obviously, the NCAA tournament. You know, we've had all sorts of events here. I think there's under 17 European Championships in the football and the UEFA European Championships as well. I think we deserve the opportunity, and I think we'd do a pretty good job of it here.
Davey, I know I don't need to encourage you anyway to beat the drum for Belfast regarding this tournament. It was interesting when I was chatting with our good friend Aaron Murphy about the tournament that just took place in Zagreb, and he was saying that, you know, the attendances for some of the games were verging on embarrassing. At least if these games are held at the SSE Arena, you've got a marketing team in the likes of Brooksy and all who know how to fill this arena and would actually do a good job in bringing some exposure to the game and to the tournament were it to be at the SSE.
I think we're a mature enough society in Northern Ireland now to get past the GB and, as Aaron said, the flag issue, you know. So I think that's not a moot point. It would be something that would need managed, and it would need managed delicately, because there's obviously sensitivities around that. But as far as the tournament itself, you know, I don't think you're going to get an awful lot of Estonians, Lithuanians, perhaps ones that live in Northern Ireland now, Dutch, and Japanese, you know, so you're dependent on the local support of hockey to come in and fill this arena, and that needs to be managed. You know, you've had a lot of regular GB fans who travel Europe watching GB saying, I wouldn't go to Belfast, that's £4.80 a pint, it was £1.50 for a pint 3 weeks ago when we were away, it's £100 a night for a hotel. There's obviously logistic issues there and things that need sorted out. I think it would be a fantastic feather in the cap for Belfast to host this. I hope they get it, but I think there's a lot of work to be done. I don't know how we're being supported with, you know, financial support from government agencies, from partnerships, from sponsorships. I think, you know, ticket prices, beverage prices, hotel prices, all those sort of things, there needs to be something done for the regular GB fan who can go to Zagreb for a week for what it would cost them for a day in Belfast. You know, it's obviously, you know, you like ask the likes of Aaron Lord what it was like to go to Italy to watch the GB and the Olympic qualifiers. You know, they can do those trips so much cheaper than Belfast. As they say, I want it to happen, I'll be there if it happens, but it's just, I think it's going to be difficult logistically for people to afford it. We'll have to work out how they, you know, the fine details, the devil's in the detail, but I really, really hope it happens.
Likewise, I think it'd be a fantastic. I do actually hope it happens. With regards to the holding the World Championships in Belfast, with regards to the development of hockey and the exposure for hockey in Northern Ireland, I think it'd be a wonderful occasion. I'm taking the politics side out of it, and it is a delicate situation. There's no doubt about that, and you are going to get some head the balls who actually take offence to it, and there will be some idiots who will try to make some sort of political points out of it. But from a purely hockey stance, you're having the World Championships, the IIHF World Championships, and the potential of that being held in Belfast. That's nothing you can turn your nose up at, and it would take a lot of effort to try to fill it out and to bring and encourage the fans over. We're already trying to encourage the fans over for the NCAA. So then we try to encourage maybe the same fans over to come and support Team GB in the World Championships. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy job, but we see the amount of good work that's put in by the likes of Steve and the guys in the office and Brooksy and Glover and all those, and how well they do in filling out these arenas. And there are a few better at it to do that. And I hope for their sake that they're able to get it, and it's another feather in the cap for the organization. You didn't expect that from me, did you?
Nope.
The fan agenda. We're going to wrap it up with a couple of questions of the fan agenda, because we've been talking for quite a while here. You can't half tell that we've had this sort of all these hockey opinions fester inside us for a month that we're trying to get out. We've been chatting here for quite a while. But let's start with a question from Christopher Bell at Bell592 on Twitter. And he says, 9 players signed, an average age of 32. Should we not be trying to get and sign a younger team, Aaron?
Well, that's younger than the average last year, I think, isn't it? I think we were about 36 last year. So it's hard to tell. I mean, we've said that we're expecting, obviously, to bring a few more back. And I think if some of those guys will probably push that age up a little bit. But it's those last few pieces that I think are going to be the key. And I think there might be one or two a good bit younger in there that'll bring that average down, but who could be very, very important players for us in some very important positions.
Davey, speed kills. Do we need the younger players for that?
Yes. Not necessarily. They don't have to be younger, because, at a certain age you can still be a speed king. You know, we were actually, our average age last year, Aaron, was 30.86. We've actually got slightly older.
We've got older. Oh, there you go.
We've got slightly older as we've recruited so far. Said it earlier in the show. We need youth. We need horny young players that want to come here and prove themselves. I think we'll sign probably a few more experienced players towards the summer as well. But I think there needs to be an injection of youth, of exuberance, of no fear. Players that come in with no fear hockey, players that just want to go out on the ice and put it out there every night. So to answer Christopher's question, yes, absolutely, for me, we need to recruit youth.
Yeah, I fully agree.
We need the balance, like any team. No team will win without that balance of, Man United from the mid-90s. You'll win nothing with kids. Granted, that's a very one-off situation. They still had the Steve Bruces and the Peter Schmeichels, etc. You need that blend of guys that know how to get it over the line, know how to get it done. When you're in that clutch situation, you need the Colin Shields at 36 who know how to, control the tempo of a game. Your Adam Keefe. All these guys are important. But yeah, not like me or Neil Russell to make an easy point long, but we need youth.
It's that mixture of an experienced head, an understanding of the game, an understanding of the systems, and also a guy who's just going to go out there and skate his backside off at speed. A youthful player with a lot of stamina is able to go for the 60 minutes of the game. It is that balance that we have to see, and I'd like to see quite a few younger players in our lineup. But as I say, it's still a long off season yet to go. We'll see who comes in. Rand Donaldson at RJDon77. Is Boxall our new Lloyd, with the added benefit of freeing up an import slot, Davey?
Our new Lloyd would suggest that
there's no old Lloyd.
There's no old Lloyd, but Johnny Boxall brings that sort of intensity, along with the likes of David Rutherford, who we've already signed as well. The rink rats, the guys who finish every hit, the guys that can change the tempo of a game with a hit that doesn't necessarily have to be the, all down to Adam Keefe to go and drop a gloves and grab someone by the throat anymore. A big hit, a big open ice hit, or a good forecheck can change the momentum of a game. And in Boxy, you've got that. He goes out there and he hits like a tree in every single shift. And he did really, really well for this season. And he earned more and more ice time. He earned himself that starting six slot a few times during the season as well. Played really, really well. Bit of a cult hero with the fans too, the ginger cheeses and, I wouldn't have known him. Seen him a few days ago, and I wouldn't have known him without that wild ginger beard and the wild hair. And
I'm made of PK Subban's.
I'm made of PK. Still owes you that pint.
You better believe it.
We will never let PK forget. And someday we'll get it, Paddy. Someday we will get that pint back for you. But Boxy could be the British version, if you like, of a Daryl Lloyd, someone out there that can do things. But let's see how the rest of the summer goes.
Aaron?
Reboxing, it's a different kind. I think Daryl Lloyd is, you know, I think people, you know, other than Giants fans, people hate Daryl Lloyd. I don't think you would hate Boxall, if that makes sense. You know, I think he wouldn't be that sort of almost, I suppose the word is maybe sly or irritating kind of, you know, character. I think from that point of view, he's not the same. But from the point of view of the effort and the work rate and just the intangibles, isn't that the big word that people like to use whenever they don't know what they're talking about? the intangibles.
I certainly do.
that he brings to the side, you know, I think definitely it is a similar kind of impact, but it maybe brought about in a different kind of way.
It's funny, isn't it? Over, especially last season, you saw time and time again when people, various people on Twitter and social media, and maybe probably saying, you know, Keith, Lloyd, Garside, you do not break them up. You do not, no matter what you do, you do not break up that line. We know who we're talking about when we say certain people were saying that. But Boxall was fantastic. And I think the Garside dropping down on the D was phenomenally good. I think Garside coming back in, maybe he's going to be a D man for this season. I think he'd done fantastically on D. And that might be a new side deals game that we'll see more of. Boxall is that player. Is that player alongside Lloyd, alongside Keith, the guy who has that energy, is able to throw it, works his backside off. I remember when we signed him, I had a text immediately from John O'Bullard saying, you're going to love this guy. You know, he never takes a night off. And it's absolutely true. He never took a night off. He was always given 100% effort, game in, game out. And I think it's unfair to say, you know, is he the new Lloyd? Lloyd has his role to play on this side. Will he be back or not? I don't know. We do need a player of that standard. I agree with you, Aaron. I don't think the Boxall has that sort of a, maybe he does, maybe he just hasn't shown it, but he hasn't shown the side of a, you know, a sly grin, having wound up an opposition player and get to the point where they're going to the box. You know, he's thrown some hits, but not the thundering behind the net hits that we've seen Lloyd play week in, week out for the last few seasons. I'm glad that Boxall's back in the side and we get a player with that amount of effort in the team, but where he fits in and whether he fits into a line that has as much energy as he did when he fitted in with Keith and Lloyd, we'll see that come September, I guess. Final question. Mark Rainbow, formerly of the show, no stranger to a View from the Bridge. Were the Giants spoiled when Coach Adey was in charge? And will you struggle to reach those heights again, Aaron?
Yes and no. I mean, the season we put together that year was just, you know, it was just absolutely fantastic. You know, you can't argue with it with the league won. I mean, I know, I think officially we won the league in about, was it the end of January? Mm. But, you know, I think it was on the cards weeks before that. Even, you know, there was just nobody was going to get near us that year. Sometimes people do forget that we actually did fall away a wee bit that season. You know, and that was maybe potentially part of the issues with him with Adey not coming back, amongst other things. So there was that little fall off at the end of the year. What it did do, I mean, if you look at what happened around the league after that, there were some serious changes. The other teams and the quality of player they brought in. You know, I think maybe we haven't, you know, we've stayed with a very similar roster over the 3 years, whereas other teams, the likes of Sheffield, the likes of Nottingham, have brought in some real, real top-end players. And I think maybe we haven't quite kept up with that, be it for budget reasons, be it for maybe last year, sorry, the year before last, maybe not quite realizing that other teams were doing that. So I think we were, maybe spoiled isn't quite the right word, but certainly it was a season that was never going to be matched. And other teams have caught us up and we haven't maybe responded until now.
Supplementary to that, I suppose, Davey, do we hearken back to that season a little too much?
We got lucky's not the right word, but it's one I'll use now. We got very fortunate that season that we were had no injuries. You know, Eddie was able to put out his three sets of five, as he liked to do it. You know, the two D men went with his three forwards, and he was able to put those three lines of five out time, just roll them all season long, got production from them all season long. There wasn't really a period where any one of the three sets of lines went down or weren't producing. You know, Keith Lloyd, Garside were doing it, Sweezer and Shieldsy were going great together up top, and you know, we just, the stars aligned that season, and it all fell away towards, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say it was a disappointing end of that season. We should have won the Challenge Cup to go to Nottingham with, you know, with that lead and blow it in Nottingham. We should have won the Challenge Cup that season, and we were a shot away. We were Frank Doyle away from winning the playoffs as well. Just an unbelievable. Sometimes, you know, the away goaltender can steal a game, and he stole the playoff final. That's a season where we should have won the lot. So, you know, to say that's a season we'll hark back to, it's a season we should look on as a blueprint for success. But there was a lot, that team had a lot more to give as well. I'm sure a lot of those guys, when you look back, if you like ask the likes of Kiefer or Sauce or, you know, any guys that played in that season, Sweezer, they would have wanted to win more. You know, I think they'll come away from that looking at that season as well as a lost opportunity to really have something to look back at the end of their careers and go, do you remember that season that we did a Grand Slam, a real Grand Slam? You know, it's so I don't think we should look back at it too much. It was just one of those seasons where the stars aligned. I think we can get those days back.
I sometimes think we do look back at it and think to ourselves, you know, like I say, a missed opportunity on many as an occasion just after we were so dominant leading up to it. But then how many times can you, you know, I've heard a few times, you know, we shouldn't have got rid of Eddie, we shouldn't have done this, we shouldn't have done that, we focused too much on this, we focused too much on that. And I agree with you. I think fortunate is the word. We got fortunate with the way that the stars aligned. In the same way, I think that the Nottingham Panthers got fortunate with the way the stars aligned the year they won the league. And it just hasn't happened again since. For us, it hasn't happened again since. And that's what happens sometimes in sport. Sometimes the chemistry clicks and you're able to run away with it. And sometimes you just find yourself having to work that little bit harder to try to find that chemistry. And we're just having to try to find that chemistry and trying to find that unique sort of gathering of lads who are going to bring us another title. I don't want to hearken too much back to it because I think, you know, Paul Eddie, as much as he came in and I thought to myself, my goodness, Paul Eddie, he ended up leaving Belfast as a bit of a legend and a very nice man indeed to chat to. To say that we struggle to reach those heights again, I fully disagree with even that part of the question from Mark, because, you know, we don't know what the future holds. We know that the Belfast Giants have the resource and the wherewithal to be one of the most successful teams. They are one of the most successful teams in the Elite League history. We've scored more points in Elite League history than any other team, and that's only going to continue when you've got the backing of the organisation. You're able to bring in team, and you're able to bring in players. Mid-season, we bring in a player like Jim Vandermeer. That shows that the Belfast Giants have the wherewithal and the ambition to chase what they can. And it's going to be interesting from here on, especially this season. But I think personally, I think we hearken back to that. But then we hearken back to a lot of things in our past with maybe a little bit too much. Anyway, on that note, thank you very much to everybody for the fan agenda. Any other business?
Not from me.
No?
No, nothing here, no.
All quiet. Do you think we've got it out of our system, boys?
I feel a wee bit better. I feel like that was a little bit of, team therapy there. I'll maybe sleep a wee bit better tonight.
And we've drawn a line under it, Aaron.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's nice to see that we've started to. I mean, obviously, the work's been going on for a long time behind the scenes, but now that we're starting to see some guys get announced and things like that, and okay, I know some of the reaction hasn't been particularly favourable, but it's, you know, fresh slate, new start, all that kind of thing. It's nice to look forward now rather than look back.
And Davey, I purposely skipped that fan agenda jibe from some lads saying, you know, how many away fixtures you were at.
I was at more than him, so I just pulled him the pipe down and, you know, I've nothing to say to him.
Have a look on Twitter at AVFTV if you want to find out more about that. Of course, you can keep up to date with us on Facebook and on Twitter. Send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Our website, of course, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. You can get us on Instagram. Check out Jimmy Squeaker's photographs. Always fantastic on there. We should do Snapchat and all this sort of stuff, though I don't think Snapchat will really work for us. Anyway, thanks, gents, for your time. I'll leave you to go back about your summer.
All the best, mate. Thanks for your time.
And on that note, wherever you are this summer, we hope you're enjoying the sunshine. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.